Okay, I'd like to take a text this morning from the third chapter of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning with verse 14, reading through to the end of the chapter, and then the first five verses of chapter 4, and reading the words in Jesus' name. But continue thou in things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the event of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning through these words, that, Lord, that you would reveal these words, for they indeed are truth, and we know that your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. This is, as I mentioned last week, this is Paul's last epistle, or last letter to the people of the Ephesus, Church of Ephesus. And he's writing specifically to Timothy at this point because Timothy was the pastor, if you will, or the preacher in that church. But as so often is the case, there was a lot of nonsense going on at that time, and as there is even today. But it was because of the foolishness of man, and because man was thinking that they knew better, and really, basically, having a religion of their own. In verse 13, it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." I remember at one time someone told me that, well, you know, I mean, we can't focus on all the evil. No, we can't, and I agree with that. But nor can we ignore it. Because in ignoring it, there's no one to stand to fight against it. If you ignore it, you kind of let it go along as it is, and after a while they begin to take over. And this is what Paul is telling Timothy. He says, "But continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them." In verse 15, "that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." From a child, meaning as he was just a young lad, his mother and his grandmother actually were the ones that brought him up and brought him up in the word. This wasn't an accident. This was God ordained. Because God knew what was going to happen down the road. He knew that Timothy was going to be his servant. He knew that Timothy was going to be called. So he made sure that he had the proper teaching and the proper upbringing up until the time that he was called. "Continue thou in the things that you have learned." Continue them. Stay with them. Stick with them. Don't ignore them. Or don't get to the point where you become defeated and you don't continue with them. And it says that which thou hast learned and have been assured of. Assured of by what and by who? He learned of these things about Christ. He learned about the salvation that is offered up to mankind. And he had the Holy Spirit assured him of it. But along with that, through the message of Paul, that Paul also assured him and taught him in that same way. It wasn't any different. And that's the beauty of Christ, of scriptural teaching. for those who have a spiritual understanding and an understanding of Scripture and depend on God and look to God for the guidance for the words to be spoken. The same thing, the things that were taught 1,000 years ago are the same today. They haven't changed. None of this has changed. I remember talking to or reading a book one time. I wasn't talking to him, but I was reading a book about a particular religion that goes around in this country. And they, at that time, I don't know what it is now, but at that time they had 7 different scriptures, 7 different Bibles. Every time a new president would come into power, he would receive some type of a revelation, and then they would change everything, or change a lot of it. Things would change in there. We're very fortunate that our God doesn't have to do that. What our God taught 2,000 years ago is the exact same thing today. It hasn't changed. We don't have to forego what we had learned before and learn something new if we are in faith. We just continue believing what he has taught and what he has given us. So Timothy had been assured, and he had been assured and knowing who he had learned it from. He had learned it through the Holy Spirit and by those who were God's messengers, and in this case, Paul. That from a child, from just a little child, that he understood and he knew what those Holy Scriptures were. And he understood that they were to make him wise. Wise how? To be able to go out and solve problems and solve it? No. Wise unto salvation. Knowing where his salvation lies. And that salvation was through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He goes on, he says, "And all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works." In 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 20 and 21, actually it's even a little... beginning with verse 18, reading through 21. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were involved, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So often people will use the argument, well, you know, the Bible, that was written by man. Yeah, you're right, it was. Can't argue that. It was man that wrote this. But it was man who wrote it through inspiration of God. Scripture is given by inspiration of God, inspired. There are times that I've done things and if I'm reading or doing whatever, and the thoughts just continue to come, and they just come of their own volition. They just keep moving on and on and on, and I'm not even thinking, but all of these things are coming through. That is being inspired. And I'm not talking so much about preaching, but I'm talking about you know, things that sometimes we're in work, when I'm working, you know, that's things that happen or take place, and problems that need to be solved. That inspiration will give you the words. And in this case, the inspiration of God gave the words to the men or the people who wrote this scripture. It is profitable for doctrine, to make sure that you're teaching properly, to make sure that those who are hearing you are hearing the proper word of God. It is profitable for reproof. Reproof is to contradict those who are giving a false message, as was in the case here with Timothy. to reprove them, to say, no, that's not right. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. It is profitable for correction, for correcting someone who may be a Christian, but yet is beginning to kind of wander off to a different angle, maybe going in a direction that isn't really proper. The scripture is profitable to correct them. Why? Because you have God's word. You've got God's word to to instruct and say, here, look, see what God says here. You're not doing that. You're going in another direction. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. And that in the for correction and instruction in righteousness go hand in hand. There is a to explain, or two words to explain this verse. The word of God has two different distinct meanings. In this particular, when he's talking to Timothy, it's talking about truth and it's talking about purpose. God's word is truth. We know it is. But God's word also has a purpose. It has a purpose to continue to teach, continue to uplift, continue to allow people to understand that because of your faith in your salvation, you one day will be with me. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. A little hard to comprehend as we live in this sinful flesh. We live in this flesh that is constantly wanting to do things, knowing that they shouldn't, and yet do them anyway, even as Paul has said that he does. But here it says that the man of God, that's the key now, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Everything you need, God is willing to give. Everything you need to do the work that he wants you to do, he will provide for you. And it may be in a physical sense, it may be spiritual, but God is there to take care of it and allow it to happen. It goes on, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is Christ who is going to judge us. But he's going to judge us at his appearing and his kingdom. And it's going to all happen at the same time. Because at that point, it's over. There's no going back. There's no going back and say, hey, you know, I forgot to do this. I got to go back and take care of that before I see you. No, it's done. It's finished. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That sometimes can be a little rough for some people. It's telling us here to be ready. Be ready to proclaim God's message. Even if you don't really feel like it. Even if you don't really have the understanding and the knowledge. But yet continue to trust in God. And just give the words that he gives. Don't try to manufacture something that you're thinking. That's not the issue. Don't try to manufacture something. But just allow God to speak. Because he's going to say it a whole lot better than you can. He's going to proclaim it a whole lot better than you're going to be able to. And the thing is that nobody's going to be able to refute it because it came from God. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And that's the other part, the latter part of that. With all longsuffering and doctrine. What is longsuffering? Longsuffering is patience. Longsuffering is be able to, yes, there's things going wrong. Yes, there's things that haven't really been going right for you. But patiently continue to proclaim that message. Patiently continue, because God has a plan. just talking about that this morning, what God's plan is. He has a plan, but I have got to sit off to the side and wait for him. I can't go surging ahead. I can't say things that will cause harm. I can't do things that would maybe inflict a bad feeling. I've got to sit off to the side, and I've got to wait for God to take care of these things. Sometimes that's not all that easy to do. Sometimes I need to be reproved. Sometimes I need to be rebuked. And most of the time, I need to have long suffering. But I also need to have that doctrine. And that doctrine is such that Jesus loves me, as the songwriter says. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Sound familiar? It's happening. It's happening in churches. I've heard it said over in Europe that some of the churches have been turned into museums because there's nobody goes there anymore. There isn't anybody to attend. Mankind has gotten to the point where they know what is important, and God is being cast aside or left behind. So there are some that still do go to church, but what is the church that they're going to? Is it a church that proclaims the gospel and its truth and its purity and its totality, its entire gospel? Just because we don't happen to agree with it doesn't mean it's not true. Just because social media wants us to think something other than what Scripture says doesn't mean it's not true. But sometimes we can get so caught up in the actions of the world. We can get so caught up with the actions of society. And what they're saying says, well, that does kind of start make a little bit of sense here. That's a time to be careful. Because if it's contradictory to God's word, then it's not true. It just is not true. I saw a thing the other day about, Franklin Graham was being interviewed, and I don't know what all the letters are, the LGBT or whatever that movement is. I'm not sure exactly what the letters are. But what they're trying to do now is to force an issue where the tax-exempt status would be taken away from the churches if they come out and say that that movement is wrong. You see, the devil is just working in every avenue that he can work in. The devil is working in every single avenue that he can come up with to try to bring down the church. And it's not going to happen. Is the church going to be afflicted with it or be affected? Are they going to become smaller? Are less people going to be coming? Yes, maybe that will happen. But it's not going to completely make the churches go away. It's not going to completely make the word of God being proclaimed to go away. Because there's always somebody out there that is willing to proclaim it and to stand up and say, no, this is wrong. This is false. But a prayer should be to all of us that whoever is chosen to do that, that they would have the strength, the willingness, and the encouragement to do it. Because it's not an easy thing to do, to stand up when everybody around you is opposed to you. It's a difficult thing to do. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The word of truth is indeed God's word. There's no question. They shall be turned away unto fables. They will be turned away unto lies, deceitfulness. Something that sounds pleasant. And the philosophy that goes around today, the name it and claim it religion. I name it, so therefore it becomes mine, and I'm going to claim it, and now God, give it to me. It doesn't work that way. God's word is, or God's kingdom does not revolve around finances. It doesn't revolve around gifts, or it doesn't revolve around riches. It revolves around His Son, Jesus Christ. That's who we have to look to. Because when everything is all said and done, it's going to be gone. Scripture tells us that it's going to burn away and melt with fervent heat. It's just going to disappear, and there's not going to be anything left. The old adage that there are no baggage cars that are in there that go with you into the grave to take your riches with you, just not going to be there. People have been buried with their cars because they love them so much. The stories have gone around. I'm sure you've seen them. What's going to happen? The car's going to rot, rust away, become a piece of junk, because there's not going to be anything left to it. Oh, the foolishness of man is just, it's beyond scope. It's beyond measure. Man thinks they can fix it. Man is making a mess out of it. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, because that's what's going to happen. If we're going to believe in Christ and proclaim that, then there are going to be problems. Somewhere down the road, and I'm not going to say it's going to happen immediately, but somewhere down the road, somebody's not going to like it. Now, you just may have to hear about, oh, you guys are crazy, and blah, 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 and then let it go at that. There might be a physical issue involved. But the thing is, there will be issues. Do the work of an evangelist. What is that work? It's proclaiming God's message, proclaiming His word, so that if there's one person out there that can hear it, if there's one person that the Holy Spirit is talking to, that one spirit will receive salvation. And that salvation is by far and away more important than anything that he could attain of his own. And make full proof of thy ministry, or fulfill thy ministry. Fulfill it. And how is that? To continue to do God's word, to do God's work, preaching His word, as I said, instant in season and out of season. Whether you feel like it or not, do it anyway, because there is a reward for you. We see that we have heard so often that we don't do these things because of rewards. Well, and that's true. But there is going to be one. That reward is going to be salvation. It's going to be eternity in heaven. It's going to be something that we just, at this point in time, just cannot fully understand or acknowledge. But it will happen. God has promised it. And He does not go back on His promises in any way, shape, or form. In His name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your message. We thank You for all of the blessings that You have given to us, even up until this day. And we ask, O God, to continue to walk with us even as this week progresses. That, Father, that we may be able to continue to look unto You for strength and guidance. And yet, as we have already spoken of, that, Father, we will be able to proclaim Your word and Your message. It's not that You have asked us to go out and speak in an auditorium. It's not as though You want us to go out and speak in some great crowd of people. But oftentimes, all You would want us to do is to speak to that one person who You are called, or who You are calling, that one person who needs to hear Your message. It's not the grand and glorious, but it's the obedience that You are looking for. Well, Father, thank You for this. We ask that we would be strengthened and believe and continue on that path. And now we ask that You would bless us and keep us, that You would make Your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that You would lift up Your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.